So, Matthew, we're going to turn to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to go ahead and pray. We're going to begin in verse 22. But I want you to just go ahead and pray right now. And, you know, every time we approach the Word of God, it should do one of two things for us. It should either form a new belief about God that you did not know, or it should reinforce something you already know about Him. Sometimes it does a little of both. So let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father God, that it is quick. It's powerful. And Father, I thank you that it is sharper, sharper than a two-edged sword. God, that it cuts into our very deepest, inmost being and helps us to become more and more like Jesus. And so, Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit today, ministering, leading, and guiding so that we can understand more and live out this gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I was praying and preparing for this week, the house was kind of quiet. Abby and Pastor Christine were at camp, and so the dog was staring at me a lot. So during that time, I was just praying. I was asking the Lord, okay, Lord, what's next for, what do you want to share? And I have a couple of sermon series and things that I'm working on toward the fall as we get ready for our outreach, as we do our retreat in November. I've got, you know, it's funny, God downloads certain things to me, and I'm writing stuff down. And he just kind of led me to go back to some of my notes from years ago. And I was like, okay. So I grabbed some of my old notebooks that I write some of my sermons down in, because, you know, sometimes I preach from my phone and the notes that are on my phone. But this time he had me go back, and I found an interesting, basically it was a Christmas sermon that I preached in 2016, and I felt like he wanted me to share some of those things. And then he brought me over, was not part of the sermon, was to go over to Matthew chapter 14. But in 2016, I came to you toward the end of 2016, and I said that God had some things to tell you, and God has some things to show you. God has some things to tell you supernaturally through his word, because his word is supernatural. That's why the psalmist could write, "Thy word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." God's word is powerful, and he wants to tell you some things. He wants to show you some things. And the thought came to me today that God is a show and tell God. And I was thinking about communion, and I was meditating on that, that God likes to show some things and tell some things. He likes to show his goodness, and then he likes to teach us. And I'm reflecting back all the way when he appeared to Moses in the burning bush. He showed Moses something very unique. God does that sometimes. He sometimes likes to show us something to get our attention, show us something out of the ordinary. Signs and wonders, we talk about that. Signs and wonders. Somebody said, what's a sign and wonder? A sign is just that. It advertises something, and a wonder says, man, I wonder what that is. And that's how God sometimes works with us. And, you know, I grew up in a church that didn't experience necessarily a lot of overt supernatural things. But I will tell you that every week, every Sunday, we would sing "Just As I Am" without one plea. We would sing "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." That was the song that, as a 15-year-old young man, I walked down the aisle and I gave my heart to Christ. Really, for real, gave my heart to Christ. In Sunday school, I remember doing it, but it was when I was 15, 1980, in July, a hot July in South Florida. I walked down that aisle at Lighthouse Baptist Church, and I gave my heart to Christ. And I never turned back since then. Oh, there were moments that I was I was discouraged. There were moments that I maybe had to fight a little bit of doubt or had to get back into fellowship or back into the Word. But I'm telling you, just as that song was saying, we sang a portion of it today, about though none go with me, I still will follow. And as I was preparing for this, I wanted to hear a little bit of the history behind the traditional version of that song, I've decided to follow Jesus. And what's the story behind it? You know, there's stories behind almost every song. And the story behind that is that it comes from India. The song actually came from India, which kind of like, it was a little surprising to me because I thought, oh, this has got to be like a Southern gospel, Southern United States kind of thing. And it's not. It came from India during a time of terrible persecution where the gospel was being very much persecuted. And some of the early missionaries were finding some very few converts. Very few people were turning to Christ. And in this one particular portion of India where there was a lot of hostility toward the things of God and toward the gospel, this one man and his family were basically persecuted, and most of his family was killed in front of him. And where this song came from was the chief was asking him, in the middle of this persecution, renounce Jesus. Don't follow this gospel. Don't follow this way. This is not right. And he said, though none go with me, I still will follow. And they killed another one of his family members. And he kept on. And basically the words to the song are his testimony. I've decided to follow Jesus, and there's no turning back for me. And his entire family essentially gave their life to Christ. Or gave their life for Christ. And at that moment, because of this man's testimony, the entire village was rattled. How in the world would this person allow his entire family to be killed for the cause of Christ? There must be something to this. And when we hear a song like that, it has a lot more weight to it. When somebody says, I've decided to follow Jesus and there is no turning back. And I began to think about that in light of the fact that God wants to show something to you and he wants to tell something to you. Jesus' whole ministry was show and tell. His whole thing in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil. God, because God was with him, God anointed him. In echoing Isaiah chapter 60, when Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the good news. The Spirit of God. And I reflect back on the fact that God wants to show you something and he wants to tell you something. And as I was preparing for this, I felt like God said, now tell him the second part. And I said, what do you mean the second part? He said, I want to complete something in them. He not only wants to show you his goodness, he not only wants to show you something that is just outstanding, he wants to tell you something, but he also wants to complete something in you. Now you're there in Matthew chapter 14. And I didn't forget, so here we go. Matthew 14, verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. You know, I always reflect on that. Jesus said, go to the other side. I think he knew what he was talking about. He said, go to the other side. You know, sometimes God says for you to do something in your life, and there's an obstacle between you and getting there. Notice what happens. And when he sent the multitudes away, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Sometimes there's an obstacle getting to where he said you were going to be. There are obstacles in your way. And God wants to show you how to get through those obstacles. Now, notice in verse 25, it says, the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. God wants to show you something, and he wants to tell you something, and he wants to complete something in you. So, notice what happens. Jesus came walking to them on the sea. Verse 26, when the disciples saw him walking, it's a ghost, they cried for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. You know, how many times when God is showing up in our lives in the middle of an assignment that he's given us, and he's basically saying, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's going to be all right. Don't be afraid. And that may be easy for a preacher to say on a Sunday morning, but when you're faced with life and death situations or extreme emotional problems or your family issues, man, that sounds like just, you know, a trite saying, well, God's with you. But if you will just close your eyes just for a moment in the middle of those times, you'll know that God really, truly is with you. He's right there. He's right there. Often I reflect when over 10 years ago, just a little over 10 years ago, when I had my brain bleed in the emergency room, to hear my wife tell the story of how God just supernaturally strengthened her. She felt strength come into her body as they were making a decision for an emergency surgery for me. And I think about that, and I think about the fact that, you know, when we're in the middle of those big things, the storms of life come to every one of us. You know, Jesus said, go to the other side, but there was a storm between them and the other side. Sometimes those storms come up. God didn't send them. Understand. The enemy comes to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. But when those storms come up, he still can show up in the middle of them and bring strength to you. And he says, it is I. Do not be afraid. Verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, I always thought that was funny. He's not quite sure. Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. You see, some lessons we can learn in God wanting to show us something, wanting to tell us something, and wanting to complete something in us is sometimes he just shows up. And you know, is this God? Is this me? Or is this the devil? Have you ever done that? When something comes up, hey, wait a second. Is this God? Am I making this up? Or is it me? Or is it the devil? Did I eat too much pizza last night? You know, what is this? Is this God? Is this me? Is this the devil? What is it? Is it just, you know, I didn't get enough sleep? What is it? You know, sometimes God shows up in those moments and you go, wow, this is God. He's shown up. And just like Peter, you know, I think sometimes he gets a bad rap, but I want you to notice he's the only one who got out of the boat.
Amen.
Right? Wait a second. Let's notice what happens. Peter answered him and said to me, Lord, if it is you, command me to come, verse 28, to you on the water. Verse 29, he said, come. Notice he did not say, come, Peter. He didn't say, come, Peter. He said, come. Do you think all the other guys in the boat could have?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I believe they could have walked on water, every last one of them. Now, when we get to heaven, we'll see the video, and we'll see what that was like. I think it'll be really cool. We'll get a bird's eye view of it, and we'll get to see that. But what about you? What about the storms that you're facing in life. You're saying, Pastor, you just don't understand. I got this financial thing. I got this health thing. You know, what about those storms? Those storms still come, but know that Jesus can come walking in the middle of those storms, and he can bring peace to you. And he just wants you to listen for his voice. Listen for his voice in the middle of those things. Because, yes, he wants to show you something, because he's a show and tell God, but he wants to tell you something. And notice what ends up happening. He says, be of good cheer, it's I, don't be afraid. I think one of the first things that God has to tell every last one of us when he shows up on the scene is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's I. It's me. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Why? Because we don't have time to get into it, but Genesis, the first negative human emotion that shows up on the planet after the fall is fear. It's the first negative emotion that shows up. And it was a fear that separated Adam and Eve from God to the point that they hid themselves with fig leaves. And God's looking for him, going, Adam, where are you? Where are you? And what does Adam say? Adam says, I was naked and I was afraid. He said, well, who told you that? Who told you that? You see, fear comes in because of the curse. And the first thing that Jesus does when he shows up on the scene, fear not. The first thing that he does is, fear not, it's I. Don't be afraid. Peter answered and said, hey, if it's you, bid me to come. And you see the story there. And he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to Jesus. Verse 30. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, what did he do again? He started to fear. He was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Some of the things that I take when I read this passage is that not only do we need to listen for that voice of him calming our fear, but we also need to lean in to what he's trying to say to us. The storm can be boisterous. The symptoms can be loud. You know, the financial pressure can scream at you. And to the point that you just feel like you're just going to explode. We live in a society right now where people are so in fear and anxiety. They've got so many disorders and so many things. And I'm not making light of that. I believe that we need better mental health. But I got to tell you something. Part of the reason is because we have forsaken the ways of God and just tried to do everything on our own. Now, if you're a believer and you're dealing with some emotional issues, there's no condemnation, but there is help. There's help both naturally and supernaturally. And Jesus wants to bring, he wants to show you something, and he wants to tell you something, but you've got to lean in a little bit in the middle of that storm to listen a bit. I remember as an Oral Roberts University student, and on Friday nights, a lot of my friends would go out and they would just, you know, go to a movie. And I hung out with good people, so they weren't carousing, they weren't doing bad things, you know, sometimes mischievous things, but not bad, you know what I'm saying? They weren't like breaking the Ten Commandments. All they were doing was like playing tricks on each other and dumping water and shaving cream on people. It was a college dorm. What can I say? A Christian college dorm where U.S. News and World Report said that the drug of choice was aspirin. And so it was not a party school. I'm sure there were some that partied because there's no perfect place, right? That's because human beings are there. But I remember on those Friday nights, a lot of times I would turn off the lights, and I was a chaplain, a student chaplain, turn off the lights, and I would just seek God, play my guitar, and I don't really play guitar very well, so it's make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And so I definitely was doing that, but I would just seek God. And I remember this was my prayer as a young man just starting out in ministry and following after him, I was like, God, I want to hear you when you whisper my name. I don't want you to have to shout. I want to listen. So sometimes we just need to lean in and listen a little bit better. Focus. Put the phone down. Shut the app off. Turn the TV off. And lean in. What are you saying to me, Lord? What are you trying to get my attention? Because he wants to tell you something as well as show you something. And he wants to complete something in you. But in order for him to complete it, you're going to have to leave fear behind. And notice what Peter did. He cried out, Lord, save me. First of all, he got his eyes on the problem. Initially, he had his eyes on the solution. Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. And what did he do? He got out of the boat and he started walking. But as soon as the wind and the circumstances of life kind of come up against each one of us, we have that option. And thanks be to God that when we do blow it, when we do take our eyes off of him, all we have to do is say, Jesus, hey, I'm sinking over here. And he's so good. He reaches out his hand. And what did he do? He restores him. But not without teaching him something. You of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly, truly, you are the Son of God. So, what's that? How do I apply this to my life, Pastor? Well, what kind of storms of life are you going through? Well, let's back up before that. What did Jesus tell you? Go to the other side. What was the last assignment he gave you? We've been talking a lot because I feel like the Lord is emphasizing that word assignments to our church. Assignments. Amen. You know, that we would be, and we are, an encouraging church. That you know, people get beat up 6 days out of the week. The last place they need to be beat up is in church. They need to be shown the goodness of God. They need to be shown the love of God. And they need to be shown that God loves them so much. God showed his love to us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So when we embrace that, what is he telling you to do? Is he telling you, you know, you have an assignment. Maybe there's something that you dropped years ago. God's saying, pick it back up. Maybe there is a dream that you had that you gave up on and you kind of went about three or four different directions away. He knows where you live. He can find you again. If you missed him, all you got to do is turn around and look for him and you will find him because he's right there. He's not gone very far. You might have gone far, but he hasn't gone very far. Remember the story of the prodigal son. What is the father doing? He's out on the porch. They should have changed that. You know, over the years, this is, don't write me emails over this, okay? If you're watching on Facebook, don't write me emails. I think they should have changed the name of that story. Instead of the prodigal son, should have been the waiting father. Because that's what he was doing. He was waiting. He was waiting. The waiting father was waiting, and when the son was a long way off, he saw him. See, God has something to show you, and he's got something to tell you. And I say this often, you can't do anything to make God love you anymore. And you can't do anything to make God love you any less. Because that's how good God is. Now you can remove yourself from him and he'll let you.
Hallelujah.
But he's always waiting. And the choice is yours. So what did he tell Peter? He said, hey, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? So we in our lives, God gives us an assignment. Go to the other side. Go to the other side. He told the disciples, get in the boat, go to the other side. I'll meet you there later. He didn't tell them how he was going to meet them. He just said, go to the other side. Now, if if they would have taken him at his word, then in the middle of this storm, they would have probably just said, hey, Master told us to go the other side. Mm-hmm. We're going to the other side. Doesn't matter how big the storm is, I'm going to the other side. Doesn't matter how big that storm, I'm going to be on the other side. If you have a mountain of debt screaming at you, I'm going to the other side. I'm going to the other side. There is a natural part. There's a supernatural part. You hear us say that often. But we look, we listen, we lean into what he's saying, and we'll make it to the other side. But we have to leave fear behind. We have to latch on to him. You know, if you have ever had an opportunity to see either Jesus, the sight and sound production of Jesus, or if you've actually seen it in person, there is a gripping scene when Jesus reaches down and pulls Peter up into the boat. And they do it such an amazing special effect for that theater company. It's just wonderful that they can portray it that way. And I think about the fact that we need to latch on to him in those moments where we're sinking, in those moments where it feels like the storm's winning. God, hey, the storm's winning over here. Storm's winning. And God's saying, be of good cheer. I'm here. What do you need? Help! Help me. Help me. God's so good, he just pulls Peter back into the boat. Pulls Peter back into the boat. And just shows his goodness. Shows his goodness. So we need to latch on to him.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, sometimes in order to go through those things, we've got to leave the safety of our boat to go find Jesus. Leave the safety of what you know. I've always known it this way. And God's calling you deeper. He's calling you to a different place. He's calling you to step out. And when you step out, he shows up. He shows up. God is, he's a faith God. He honors faith. When you step out and it doesn't look like there's anything to step on, you just say, okay, all right, okay, okay. I'm okay, here we go. And that's not an easy place to be, stepping out into the unknown. But that's a place that if you understand the relationship you have with Jesus as a born-again child of God, it is the safest place on the planet, is to step out. Is to step out, even when you feel like, well, I don't have it all figured out. You can't. He's God. But he asks for trust. Just trust. So God has some things to show you. He has some things to tell you. And he's got some things to complete in you. To complete in you. You know, sometimes when we get born again, we kind of sit back and we say, oh, I've been a Christian for 20 years, been a Christian for 10 years, been a Christian for 30 years. And I was reflecting on it today. I went, oh my goodness, I'm showing my age. I've been a Christian for 43 years. I can't be that old. But we can rest and say, well, I'm going to heaven. But I believe that God has things to complete in you. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's got some things to complete in you. You see, our story, your story is not finished yet. So if you're still breathing, sucking air on planet Earth, your story is not finished. So even though the storm is raging out here and in here, your story is not finished. Your story's not finished. Even if you sank, praise God. He's good all the time. Amen? Isn't he? So I want you to see yourself in that place. See yourself that God is showing you things. And some of you know exactly because it's between you and God, or what he's showing you, what he's been trying to show you and tell you. And he's also dealing with some of you saying, and I'm going to complete it in you, but you're going to have to let me do it. I'm going to complete it in you, but you're going to have to let me. See, God asks us for cooperation. So you need to listen, lean in, and just leave that fear behind. Say, okay, God, the assignment, go to the other side. The direction, whatever he's telling you to do, do it. You'll be glad that you did. If you're watching online today and maybe you don't know Jesus Christ, or maybe you're here in this congregation and you've never been born again, I want to give you an opportunity to know Jesus Christ in just a moment. I'm not talking about church membership. Goodness, no. I'm talking about knowing Jesus first and foremost. Yes, as soon as you know Jesus, you are a member of his church. His church, the mystical body of Christ, which is bigger than these four walls for sure. It is Jesus wants to come and reveal himself to you in a personal way. Romans 10, 9 and 10 puts it this way. If you believe in your heart that Jesus is who he said he is, and you confess him with your mouth as your Lord and Savior, you'll be saved. So this morning, right now, I just want us to stop and do that. Just with every head bowed and every eye closed in this place, just give people a moment of privacy. I know what the word says. The word says, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father. But sometimes we got to start in this private place, believing in our heart, confessing with our mouth, receiving his forgiveness in our lives. It's really called being born again. When we make him the Lord of our lives, then we're unashamed and we do say, Lord, I'm going to make you my Lord. That means the one who calls all the shots. And I'm going to live for you. That's what lordship is. So right now, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you want to receive Christ, you want to be born again, I want you to raise up your hand. If you want to recommit your life to Christ, I want you to raise up your hand. Hallelujah. Is there anybody in this place? If you're watching online, you can pray with us. We're going to pray this simple prayer out loud. Meet it in your heart, and God will meet you right where you are. Amen. Let's pray together. Say, Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for my sins, that he rose from the dead, and I receive his forgiveness today, and I call Jesus my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer or similar for the first time today, and you just want to know how you can do this better, what's next for you, I want you to message us by Facebook. Let me know personally if it happened here in this place. If you recommitted your life to Christ, I want to know. I want to know so I can pray for you. I can help you in your journey. If you live far away, I want to help you find a church that can help you grow and help you learn what God has to say to you. He's got assignments. He's got good things for you. And it doesn't mean that your life is going to be on flowery beds of ease, but it is going to mean that you are going to get power to walk through everything that God has for you. Today, I'll be available down front afterwards if anybody needs any specific prayer or agreement about anything. You need prayer for healing, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We are a Spirit-filled church. We do believe in the modern-day gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we're unashamed about that. But I want you to know that we love you. We believe that God has a plan for your life, and we're thankful that you were either watching or you were here in person today. Let's stand together for our sending out verse at this time out of Psalm 121, 7 and 8. Let's say it together. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. God bless you. You are dismissed, and our ukulele practice will commence soon. All right.